may just hold this. I don't know. So, good morning. It's after 9:45, so I don't know when we're supposed to start, but we'll begin. I've met several of you as you come in, but my name is Barry Bovary. I'm here from Midwestern Children's Home. Just really thankful to be with you on this beautiful morning. I left Cincinnati before the sun came up, and I got to see just a glorious morning as I drove this way, and always thankful for a beautiful Sunday morning in March, because you know you don't always get that. So just thankful to be with you, thankful for your heart towards Midwestern Children's Home, thankful just to come to be able to share the story a little bit, as it's been a while since anybody from Midwestern's been here. If those of you that have been around a little while, I will say that I bring greetings from a gentleman named Dwight Hessen. That name may or may not mean anything to you, but he was our administrator from 1997 to 1994, and he's still our business manager. He'll be 92 years old at the end of this month, and he just doesn't want to stay home at all. He just keeps coming into work, so I don't know if any of you would remember him or not, but... as I begin, let's begin with a prayer this morning, and then we'll get into the story. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercies being new every morning. Father, thank you for all the ways you take care of us, you watch over us. You're our Heavenly Father. We're thankful that you adopted us, that you loved us so much, that you would send your Son for us. Father, thank you for the caring heart that you have towards us and that we can have towards those in need, those that need you, Father. Father, those that are struggling to be loved and cared for. Father, bless us as we talk about Midwestern this morning. Help us to see a little bit of the love you have for us through this story. And we pray all this through Jesus' name. Amen. So... I don't know what you know about Midwestern Children's Home. I know it's been a little while, again, since we've been here. I don't know if any of you have ever even thought to stop by and see us. So I have a video that I want to start with. We are connecting wirelessly, so it's a little choppy on the screen. This is a little longer than I would care for, but I think it's worth showing, just so you have a look at where we are. And so hopefully this will go well. So you'll see some words come up on this as it moves along. It's kind of our story. If you had sound, you would hear somebody read these words to you, but I think it's better that I get to talk over the video. You're seeing a lake area here that is kind of in the center of our campus. We've been around since 1967, serving children. On this property, the board back then, I was born in 1969, so I'm not a part of this we, but the board back then formed and raised money and said, we're going to start a children's home. We're going to start a ministry to those that need a great home. And so they found this place, and it was a campground with a lake. And those are our cabins that we have now. That's not the cabins that were there in 1960. Well, they bought the land in 65, but this was the beginning point of what they had, and so we still maintain a campground. And I will tell you that we have different things that go on down in the campground. We've hosted youth groups for youth retreats. We've hosted camps for primarily inner city kids coming out of coming out of Cincinnati. And then back in the day, there were fishing derbies and things like that, as this was the place. If you came down in the 60s and 70s, if any of you remember that, that was where that was hosted. As you come over, you can see the old barn that I have no idea how old it is. It's been there before Midwestern ever was, and it's not a barn in the traditional sake of a barn anymore. It's kind of a party center, if you will. We've had weddings in there. We've had hoedowns in there. We've had craft fairs in there. It's not heated or air conditioned, so you probably don't want to be there in the wintertime or the summertime. But it's kind of a neat party place that we have. The tan building there across the way is our independent living center. It's kind of not the greatest place to start, but that's where we started. So we do serve kids beyond their 18th birthday in that. And now as we come over via drone, you can see our campus full of houses. We have 8 houses total. And if you get the feel here, it kind of looks like a little neighborhood. And if you get the feel of the outer stretches in the middle of farm fields. That's our school, the very long building in the back, and that's our campus recreation center, kind of that funky building in the front there. And this is just going to keep circling over the houses. And so what I would say to you is we hire house parents to come in and live in every unit, and then we ask them to serve up to 6 children on an ongoing basis. We'll talk a little bit more about those children. You're seeing some of those children play basketball right there, which if you were to show up just about any time, you'd find children playing basketball right there. That's a kind of even on the coldest day. Our office is there to, I'll say that's the right there, and so we're right there in the middle of campus. Each house will either serve girls or boys. Right now I have 2 sets of house parents serving girls and 2 sets of house parents serving boys. We're looking for more house parents. That'll come up in the middle of all this. That's a good shot of our office there. And so this just kind of continues circling. We have an annual fundraising event that we call our gala. It was just a few weeks ago. And we could not have that gala in 2021 live and in person. So we tried to have a virtual event, and we weren't very good at that, but that's where this video was made. So it's really not this green yet at Midwestern Children's Home. But it was definitely in the spring of 21. This is kind of what we look like. So I think this is about to wind down. You've kind of gotten a feel. There's a playground in the middle of the field, or in the middle of everything there that we share. When we first made that video, I was like, wow, I didn't know it looked like that. Because, you know, you drive in and you don't see it from what a drone would look like as it flew over. So real quickly, that was a tour of the campus. I used to, before we had that, I would spend about 15 minutes talking through buildings and different additions and that kind of things. I think that's a kind of a simple way. If you're ever near us coming to Cincinnati, I'd love to show you around a little bit and walk you through a house and let you meet some house parents. But what is Midwestern Children's Home? What do we do? And what I would tell you from the beginning, as I understand it, is there was a heart to meet the thought behind James 1:27. Pure religion, caring for the orphans and the widows. Some of you may know Dr. Harold Schenck. He was the president of OVU for a time. There's an association of Church of Christ Children's Homes. We call that Network 1:27. And he's our national spokesman for that. He speaks every year at our conference. And several years ago, you know, he's an Old Testament guy. He said he helped me learn the reality that James 1:27 didn't come from James. Actually came from Moses. And in Deuteronomy, Moses encourages the Israelites as he's telling them what they need to make sure that they ought to remember when they take the land. He says, don't forget the widows, the orphans, or the strangers. For once you were strangers in a strange land. God always, from the beginning, even before he gave his people a land and a place and a home, he always cared about those that would struggle to care for themselves. He took care of them in Egypt, even as they struggled through that. And he encouraged his people to make sure that they took care of one another, the orphans, the widows, and in that day and age, even people that would be strange to them, that would be not from their place, and that they ought to be hospitable and loving and care for them. And so at Midwestern Children's Home, we just want to honor the heart of God as we want to care for those that have had a life to this point where their families have not been what they would like, what we would like for them to be, that they've not known a loving and caring home, that they've struggled with the definition of family, the definition of home being a good thing and a positive thing. And beyond that, of what we can physically give them, we want to help them understand how God is their loving Heavenly Father above all else. The worries of this life, the struggles of this life are going to continue. We're promised that. But as we understand God's divine love for us, then we understand the hope that goes beyond, the peace that passes understanding. And that's what we want them to learn, that God loves them that much. So I'm going to try to go through this pretty quickly. Most places I get 45 minutes in Bible class, and I'm understanding I get 30 to 35. So if I go too fast, please see me afterwards, and we'll try to get through this. We really are dealing with abused, neglected, dependent children. And I could go into a whole lot more details of kind of how all that happens, where they come from. But that's the reality of the kids we serve here in America. The day and age of an orphan merely being an orphan because their family has passed away, that doesn't happen a lot anymore. You know, we can have a national tragedy like 9/11 and things happen like that. We have absolutely served orphans at Midwestern to where one of their parents at least have passed away. But by and large, the kids we come to are that. I will say briefly, though, as we bring up James 1:27 and we keep going, that we do serve, we work with the children's services system, we're the foster care system, and we work with many kids that have been legally separated from their family. Their family no longer has rights to them. They may be alive, but by the court system, they've been orphaned from their families because the family would not step up and work through the issues to become the kind of parents that child would need. From the beginning, we always serve teenagers. I can remember when I first started going out to churches, and I actually left some time for some questions and answers, and I had an elementary-age young girl raise her hand and go, "Why don't you serve little kids?" And she stumped me. I'm like, "I don't know." So I went and researched that, and all I could say was, well, Midwesterns always serve teenagers. And I came to, well, maybe God just built a place for teenagers. And we've just made that his calling for us. Teenagers need a great home, too, and a lot of love. And most of the time when you say we care, like if you say, hey, would you take on the care of three or four or five teenagers? People go, ooh, teenagers. I don't like teenagers. Or they're hard. Of course, 3- and 4-year-olds are hard, too. Okay, that they have their issues, you know, okay. But that's where we're at. And most of them, because of their past, have significant attachment issues. When the adults in your life haven't cared for you, you struggle with trusting adults. They were the ones that were supposed to love and care for you. And they may even said, I'll be there for you, I'll take care of you. And in reality, when they abused you or neglected you or just didn't come when you needed them, what you learn is adults shouldn't be trusted. And so as we bring in children to Midwestern, I try to tell every child, I try to look them in the eye and say, I'm glad you're here. They may not be glad in that moment they're there. They may be still struggling with why in the world did I get put here or what's going on. But God's given us a chance to love them and show them a different way and to show them that there are adults that care. There are people who care and that will give them a loving home because their brains need to learn that, that loving, trusting adults are in this world. And we're only that way because of the love that God gave us. And we're just transferring that onto them. So we get them from children's services, juvenile courts, mental health agencies, private families. You could look at that list, and I say that's pretty much all the same kid. They've just come into the system at a different juncture. Maybe that's through juvenile court. Maybe that's through counseling. We are connected. Cincinnati Children's Hospital has an adolescent psychiatric unit, and the social workers on that unit know us. And when 7 days in the psych unit kind of helps stabilize things, but they need a lot more than that, then they call us. And hopefully we can reach out and we can work with those children. In Ohio, we are the only agency that works with privately placed children, children that are still in the custody of their family. And there's a lot of complicated reasons why all that might be, but you're probably aware of some stories in our society where kids are really struggling and they do some crazy things because of that. And sometimes just outpatient counseling is not enough to really help with the issues. Sometimes families are really struggling with some hard things. And so we work with privately referrals as much as we work with Children's Services, and so it's both. And what we stand on is that all of our fundraising really helps us say yes to that next child. Their family might pay us a couple hundred dollars a month. I said a couple hundred dollars a month. Imagine daycare. Daycare's like, what, $1,000, $1,500 a week? Okay. Crazy what they pay for daycare. And we're doing $200 a month sometimes to care for these kids. The money that we raise, the money that we get supported by, helps us say yes to those children in need. And we say yes to when Children's Services calls us up. We say yes to those children. If the government has total control of your life, you need the hope of Jesus Christ as much as anybody. When judges and caseworkers and supervisors are making all the decisions over you, it's not the same as a family. And we want to show them that they can find family even in the midst of all of the bureaucracy that is the foster care system. But as we do all of that, we remain private and faith-based. God just continues to open the door that, yes, we take children to church every Sunday morning. Throughout the week, different religious activities can go on in our houses. We pray with kids. We study the Bible with kids. Our house parents live out a sermon. There was a guy named Saint Francis of Assisi. I really don't know who he is. But he said, a sermon lived is better than a sermon preached. And that's what our house parents do for the children every day. And we get to be that. Whether they're from Children's Services or they're privately placed with us, we get to be that for them. We do have an emphasis on collaboration. I don't know how we would do what we would do without it. And that means that we do, when we can, work with the biological family to help bring healing and to help bring reunification, we do that. We don't just bring them in and try to raise them up forever. Because every child has a biological family. And that biological family never goes away in their mind, even if that family has passed away. And so as we bring in house parents, we do foster care and adoptive work too, we do live with the reality of the biological family never goes away. They may not see them very much, but they never go away. We have a young lady in care right now. She's about to be 14 years old. She's been in the county system for years and years and years, and her family's just not there for her whatsoever. And getting more and more to the place that they're going to have to totally remove the rights of the family. And she's a lovely young lady. I look at her and go, why? I don't get it. I don't understand. She's got some issues just like every other kid, but her family just can't get out of their own way and step up to her. And so we've brought her into our home, and our house parents are loving her and giving her an understanding of what family really means and what it means to be cared for in that setting. So we're working with everybody with her. And in that case, we're not working with her family. We're having to fill the void of her family. We use a family teaching model. And the sweeping thing of child care, the sweeping thing of school systems in Ohio, is the idea of trauma-informed care. We want to help children that have childhood hurts, childhood traumas, to help to begin the healing process of that. And I really describe that as a healing process. I think this is my next slide. This is the meanest thing I'll show you today. You can see what a normal 3-year-old brain would look like and what a 3-year-old brain of a child looks like with extreme neglect. This is not a forever permanent situation. When that 3-year-old can get the loving care that they need and they can even, I believe, experience the love of God, there is healing for this. There is healing for that child, that they don't have to live such a different life than that normal child. And so our house parents come alongside them, and it's a journey because there's a lot of healing that's got to take place. And I believe that that's, you know, physical and emotional and psychological, but most of all, I believe that's spiritual healing. And so as we pray over our children, as we care for our children, as they learn to trust to whatever extent they can, faith is always a choice. Faith is always a choice. But as they learn to accept the love of us and accept, therefore, the love of a Heavenly Father, there's healing that comes to that brain. It has totally affected them, and yet there is hope that they can live a different life. They can change generationally. That when they have children, their children will not experience the same things that they experienced. And if you want to look at our program more in-depthly before I kind of move on from this, you can go to our YouTube page. We have a YouTube page, Midwestern Children's Home. And on there is about 14, 15 minutes long, a video. But in that video, you would meet Melissa, who was totally changed by Midwestern. You'd meet Natasha. Natasha is an international adoptee, and she came out of the Ukrainian orphanage system, and that's a pretty rough place to live. A lot of traumas there. Melissa's older, but if you would, you could go and you could meet them and you could see the power of God. When I get to show those videos, we showed one of them at our gala event, that can make it look like Midwestern's great. Midwestern's not. God is great, and He brings healing to the hearts of the kids that need healing. So I'm looking for house parents. Anybody want to sign up? I'm thankful for this four sets of house parents that we have. We have 18 kids in care today. By Friday, we may be at 20. I think those we got a young lady, a young man, already kind of. No, those were two young ladies. I'm sorry, two more young ladies coming in. In fact, we can serve 12 girls and 12 boys right now. So the 18 is, for some crazy reason, it's 9 girls and 9 boys. It never works out that it's totally even like that as I stand before you. But the 3 girl beds that are open actually are already spoken for. Those kids are on the way. We're just waiting for everything to kind of line up right for them to come in. I think we have 3 open boy beds. One of those is already spoken for. And I just feel the way this year has gone, that we will, those beds will be full quickly. I really am looking for house parents so that we can continue to serve and all of that. House parents get paid a salary, they're employees, and there's a financial package to that. So if you know anybody that would be interested and have a heart, I know that as I, you know, we come here and whether you've ever thought of foster care or house parenting or adoption before, that's a big thing to think about. And you don't just hear that for the first time and go, ooh, I want to do that, you know. So I feel like we grow that, the thought of that in the hearts of people. And so if you'd ever like to learn more about any of that, I'd love to talk with you. There's a house parent tour to where we kind of talk more about, you know, maybe laundry and those kind of things that have to be done, cooking meals and that kind of stuff. Would love to talk to you about that. Or if you have relatives, maybe you have relatives that live far, far away, and if they would come be house parents, you'd live closer to your children or your grandchildren, and Midwestern can be a great place for that. So what's it take to run Midwestern? Our budget this year is about $1.9 million. We do have a school on our campus. I showed you that real briefly there. Because we're in the foster care system, it's really crazy, but we actually get public education dollars to run Village Christian School. We hire our teachers. We can't have a chapel, but other than that, we get to drive the curriculum. We get to have Christian teachers in there. We pray in our school. We pray with our students. We're blessed to run that, and again, because it's the foster care system is involved, we get public education dollars to run that. So the school is self-funded as far as that goes. Last year, we had about 42% of what it took to run the children's home come in through charitable support. We had 58% come in through service fees. That's what Children's Services pays us. Our five-year goal is to flip that number. Our five-year goal is to have 60% charitable support and 40% service fees. That's going to give us more stability financially, just to get us through the ups and downs and craziness of a governor's decision to change this or change that, you know, and to make us just that much more financially stable. So we're looking to actually increase our fundraising so that we can have the stability going forward that we need. We'll continue to work with children from Children's Services. We'll just be more financially stable again through some of the ups and downs that a pandemic taught us, that we need stability and that life can change. Life can change overnight. And I will tell you, in the spring of 2020, we had a great season of new kids coming in January and February before that. And then the pandemic hit and the quarantine, and children that the court had just deemed needing the safety of Midwestern, needing the safety of out-of-home care, when the pandemic hit, they just sent them right back home to those very same families. About half our kids went home in the 2 weeks of the first 2 weeks of the pandemic. And we've been working hard to kind of rebuild back. And so if we really get to 24 kids in care in the next month or so, which I think is going to happen, it's the first time we're back to normal since March of 2020. It took 3 years to go through that. That's why we say we need more financial stability, because life can happen and craziness can happen with all of that. So where does the money come from? I think I'm still okay on time. Where does the money come from? We get congregational donations. Your church has been walking alongside us for a long time, and you've recently decided to even bless us more, and I say thank you for that. That really helps. We appreciate that. We get special contribution from churches, and that can be school supplies, groceries, gift cards. You're far enough away that you probably don't want to haul a load of groceries all the way to us, and I don't ever mind stopping by and getting stuff as we're out and about, but gift cards do the same thing. Our house parents go grocery shopping all the time, and they love gift cards. And you know, we get clothing donated. Some of that's new, some of that's used. We can do that. We have churches that come and do work projects for us. Some of that's teenage based, and we have teenage type project, and some of that's more adult place based, and we have more adult based problems. And if you ever bring someone like a plumber or an electrician or someone like that, boy, we can really use those people. That just helps everything go smoothly. We get individual donations. We get individual donations monthly. I have one older gentleman that gives us $5 a month, and he's been doing $5 a month for as long as I've been around, and blessed by him. We have another family that's actually a military family, and all they can tell me is he gets hazard pay, but they give us $500 a month, and I'm like blown away by that. And I give that as the two extremes, but $15 a month, $20 a month, $50 a month, it's a blessing. We get one-time memorials, ongoing amounts, and I would just real quickly spend 30 seconds on estate planning. We value being good stewards of what God has given us, and we tithe out of that, or we give. We make sure that we're supporting the church in that. This is the heritage of the churches of Christ. But we don't, when it comes to estate planning, we are about like the rest of the world in the percentages of good estate planning. And so I would encourage you, even if it's not towards Midwestern, please be conscientious of good estate planning. And if you can leave us in your memorial or your will at 5% or 10%, gentleman in Florida, well, he was in New York, and he snowbirded to Florida, and that's where he passed away. He left us in his will at 25%, and we may see $500,000 out of that, okay? And I wouldn't say he was exceptionally wealthy. He just did well enough that there were some properties left over and there was some stock left in the stock market. And it's amazing what that ended up being. And I wouldn't say he was overly wealthy, you know, just looking at where Americans can end up. So, just encourage you on that. We have people that give us stocks and bonds. In a crazy market like that we've seen over the last few years, that can be some tax advantages to that as well. So, So that is Midwestern Children's Home. Wow, it is 10:15. I did better than I thought I was going to do. Hopefully I didn't go too fast through that. But I'm very thankful to be with you guys to share the heart of what we're doing to change the lives of children at Midwestern Children's Home. I'd real quickly, if I have a minute, just say that we can serve children from Cambridge, Ohio. There's nothing that stops us from doing that. Now, you might think that's kind of weird, and that is a little far away. But just being in the same state as you guys, that helps, because it's kind of illegal to take kids across state lines without some bureaucracy involved. They call that kidnapping. I don't know. But we're in the same state as you guys. And so if you would ever have a family in need, through the years, we've had children that a church knew. And maybe one of those families that the church just ministered to over and over again, and then life, something happened, something changed, and they could be blessed by coming to Midwestern. And we've had some of those kids that come to us, and some of those have been 16, 17 years old, and the family's no longer really able to care for them, and we can. And so it's not just I'm here to say, hey, you can help us. We can help you and minister to people. And if you have any, if you know of anybody in the church that's interested in adoption or foster care, we're absolutely moving in those directions, and can talk through those kind of, how can we help serve in those kind of ways and those kind of mindsets. So we're not as connected on this part of, in this part of the state as we are in Southwest Ohio. Just because that's where we are, but we can help in those kind of things, and I would say we're working with a family who's just beginning the home study process, and they're like, you know, we've thought about caring for somebody else for a long time. Their youngest is 12 years old, and they're like, well, maybe this is the time. We've got some parenting years left in us, but maybe this is the time. And so they're looking into doing something called foster to adopt. And we're just beginning the process on that front with them. And that would be a real opportunity if you have a heart here. And you may end up with a kid from the Cincinnati area, or you may end up with a kid from here, depending how we connect in the long run. But just, you can serve in this community, and Midwestern can be a help to that. So that's my story. I'll end so we can get ready for worship as we get the blessing of gathering with one another. To worship. That's the other thing COVID taught me. Oh, how I love to be with my brothers and sisters, because we didn't get to do that for a while. So thank you. If you have questions, I'll stay as long as we need to, and as we convert over to worship. Thanks.